Well, good morning. I hope you're having a good morning this morning. I met someone who was showing me their picture of their first grandchild. It was really exciting. I also met someone who's here for the first time by the name of Carol. You keep raising your hand. That's we think that's exciting. And met Dave and a few other people who are here for the first time. So welcome to Grace Point. We've been doing a series called Christmas Uncluttered. And this morning we're going to look at two competing spirits of Christmas which vie for our attention. And depending on the spirit of Christmas you choose, your heart and mind will either feel liberated and uncluttered or disappointed and empty. The choice is yours. Watch this.
Hola.
Hello.
Can add. I don't know what happened there. Christmas surprise. So let's get some pushback here, feedback. What did you think after you watched, especially that first advert from John Lewis? What were your feelings? What were your thoughts? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Anything else? How did you feel over this side? Sorry? Everyone was getting along. And isn't that the Christmas spirit? If you were a dog, that would be you. I love that. All right. Anyone else over here? What did you feel? Sorry? Sorry? Full? Cold. Oh, okay. Turn down the air conditioning. Okay. Oh, there's someone back there. Arnold.
Looking forward to spring.
Okay. All right. Well, those are terrific ads, and a lot of money has been spent on them. And as you can see, they're well shot, well written. They give everybody who watches an ad like that the warm fuzzies. But you know, I kind of feel guilty too watching that ad because what if I don't get people just that gift, you know, that brings them joy, you know, and makes me think, did I actually get a gift for everyone? Hopefully I haven't left the dog off the list, you know? Is anybody getting a gift for their dog? Okay, you see? Okay, ads like that are very effective. And it is the goal of the marketers to make us feel emotional about those ads. They admit that. And they admit that their main goal by ads like that is to tap into our emotions and then connect our emotions with the idea that good feelings come when we make a purchase. After all, you know, that ad is made by a British department store, and they think that every time you think of them, you'll come in and realize that if you get a gift, you will actually be creating joy. They admit to that. They admit that their goal is to say to you, you know, right out straight, you may not get it at first, but the idea is you can purchase joy for others as you see the smiles on their faces. Gift giving is the path to a happy Christmas for everyone. As it says, you know, a gift for everyone is love, right? Stephanie Kaza, who's a professor at the University of Vermont, put it this way, talking about the ads and what their goal is. Has a dominant cultural force. Consumerism is a belief system and culture that promotes consuming, has the path to self and social improvement. Have they got us convinced? Very likely, I think. My wife was sharing with me earlier this week that a friend of hers was overwhelmed by the long list that her children had given to her. And when she was going over the list about boots and jackets and everything else, she said to my wife, you know, each one of these lists is going to cost me over $1,000. Linking the emotions to the wallet pays off at the checkout line for the advertisers. The advertisers work very hard for us to buy into the idea that gifts are the way to bring about joy. Gifts are the way to show love to others, particularly around Christmas, a season which is historically associated with love and joy. And as far back as 16 years ago, 2001, the Financial Times had an article, and in it, the article was entitled, Brands are the New Religion. People turn to them for meanings. And the article went on to state that the ad makers are seeking to be the modern missionaries of meaning. That is, life is about accumulating things. And also to be the comforters of insecure souls, aka retail therapy. As you are aware, with great cleverness, the marketers have co-opted the calendar so that their spiritual appeal can now start right after Halloween. And of course, the marketers have special holy days. You know all about them. Why, there's Black Friday and Cyber Monday and even Super Saturday, which is the Saturday before Christmas. See, they want to call out the faithful to come out and adore all those items that will bring joy to others through the season. Kantar Media estimates that U.S. retailers alone will spend over $5 billion this season on ads. And everyone is vying for a piece of the $1 trillion of holiday sales. Did you hear me? $1 trillion. That's what Forbes magazine says. Now, on this side of the border, the firm of PricewaterhouseCoopers expects that Canadians will likely spend on average $1,500
Now, that's not just on gifts alone. That's on, you know, lights and wrapping paper and all of that, which is more than our U.S. counterparts. Did you know that last year on Super Saturday, which just happened to be December 23rd, Canadians spent $1.3 billion just on Interact sales? This is not to do with cash. So, have you and I bought into the spirit of consuming? According to Scott Hanna, who's the president and CEO of the Credit Counseling Society, we certainly have. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe it's important to give gifts. I've done some Christmas shopping too. What I'm asking us this morning is to assess how much we've allowed our minds and hearts to be overtaken by the spirit of consuming. It's really important. And I know we're all on a spectrum of consumption, right? Some of us realize gifts don't have to be expensive. Some of us are creative in which we give coupons and say, you know, quality time is better together. Which, by the way, a psychological study said actually people prefer the idea of, you know, actually having time with somebody else as a gift. But I doubt that all of us are on that side of the spectrum. And there's many reasons to rethink our loyalty to the spirit of consuming. Beyond questioning whether all of this will clutter our landfills with waste from packaging and soon-to-be discarded product, to the dangers of transferring greed from one generation to another. In fact, a parenting coach who lives locally had an article on globaltv.com in which she challenged parents to be really careful about passing on greed to their children. There are other reasons to really consider the spirit of consumption. University of Missouri social psychologist Marcia Richens noted that materialists place unrealistically high expectations on what consumer goods can do for people in terms of bettering their relationships and increasing happiness. She even cited a father who said, "The way I need to get close with my daughter is to build her a pool." And our psychologist thought, could there not be any other way? Psychologist David Meyer notes in an article in the American Psychological Journal, "Our becoming much better off over the last four decades has not been accompanied by one iota of increased subjective well-being." That's what he said. He said, there's no link. We have more stuff than our grandparents did, but we're not more happier. In fact, he said, the truth is that more millennials are having psychological issues than ever. That's the reality. When products don't meet our expectation, disappointment and anxiety follow. For many people, a feeling of can't wait till it's over occupies our hurried hearts. You know how it is. We give something to a kid and then they'd rather just play with a stick, right? And we go, oh my gosh, I treaded through the mall. I waited in lineups and it's that kind of disappointment. Or a week later, it's over. Now, there has to be a better way. And again, it's fantastic to give gifts at Christmas and other times of the year. To find joy in our loved ones opening a gift that we took time to buy for them, specifically for them, that's wonderful. And we should enjoy Christmas season with families and friends and attend parties and watch holiday specials. I've been watching several Hallmark movies with my wife. They're wonderful movies. All of this, she's not here. Oh, she's here. Sorry. All of this is terrific. But you know, Christmas is more and richer. This is second spirit. It's the spirit of receiving. A gift has been given. 2,000 years ago, Jesus addressed the issue of desires and treasures. Want is not a new thing. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with desire and treasures. In Jesus' time, believe it or not, people also wrestled with materialism. They valued clothes and jewelry and buildings too. In fact, Jesus told a parable of a rich fool who said, you know, more is more. And he kept building himself stalls. Jesus challenged the notion of trusting in things and stop piling stuff in order to think that that would make a better life for us. In fact, the modern psychologists are just quoting what he said. He was not against desire or gaining treasure. However, he stated that we must be careful not to determine our treasure being materialism. For what we treasure is what we put our trust in for joy, for hope and meaning. And what we treasure is what we invest our time and energy and money into. Jesus didn't want us to focus on the wrong treasures because they would fail to meet our needs. In Matthew 6, 19 to 21, this is what it says. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasure in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. So wherever we put our eyes, whatever we look to, our heart naturally follows that and begins to venerate that. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will be also. The NIV translation puts it this way. For wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what do you believe will give you true joy this Christmas? We can give in to the human spirit of Christmas consuming or find joy in treasuring the divine gift that's already been given. When we treasure Jesus, we're not disappointed. When we treasure Jesus, our wallets are not emptied. Rather, our hearts are filled with awe and joy. When we treasure Jesus, we are freed from slavery to consumption. We are free to invest wisely in the things that God counts worthy. A friend of mine said to me this week that he'd been doing a job for somebody and, they failed to pay him. They said, hey, somebody in our family is very ill. We just don't have the money to give you. And he kind of wrote it off and said, okay, it's not worth the trouble. But then somebody else in that family came to him this week and said, what do we owe you? He wasn't actually even counting on the money. And so they said, here's a check. Now, what had happened to him was about the same time he'd been wondering how to help a family who just recently was going through cancer. In fact, the father was quite ill and the cancer had spread rapidly and they were struggling with just the extra bills of having gas to go to hospital and having food there while they were visiting and numerous appointments. And he said to me, not boasting, but just telling me how his view of Christmas was changing. He said, that's a gift that I can pass on. See, that's what it means to be freed to invest wisely in the things that God counts worthy. No gift can buy that kind of joy. Jesus does not disappoint or drain our pocketbooks. If we treasure Jesus, our hearts are renewed and peaceful. So how do we experience that treasure of Jesus at Christmas? Well, in order to receive it, we must desire it. Remember, our treasures are what we desire. But you know what the issue for many of us is? And I can fall into this category as well, is its busyness. Busyness is the great enemy of the spiritual life. In the busyness of running here and there, we can suffer from hurriedness, loss of our peace, and become irritable in this season. So I ask you, what would Christmas be like if we truly receive God's gift of love, peace, and joy again and again this season, whenever we needed it? We do that by turning our hearts and minds to God often. 1 Peter 5:7 states this, cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. And I found that when I'm centered in Jesus, doesn't matter what time of the year it is, I have peace. But when I'm not centered in Jesus, I don't have peace. And what I do at those times is an exercise that Christians have done since the beginning, which is to stop and focus my mind. Focus my mind on what I want to treasure. Because what I treasure leads to what I feel. So how do we center on Jesus? Now, we've done this before. Many of us have done this before. And like I said, this is traditional Christian centering. So it's nothing new. So what I'm going to do is I want to lead you in the few minutes that we have left into a traditional Christian exercise to help us to focus, to center, and to bring peace into our lives. And you can do this on your own whenever you like. So this is going to be a little bit weird for some of us, but what I'd like you to do is just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Forget about that anybody else is here. You're here by yourself. And to help us to center, what I want you to do is I just want you to exhale. Now breathe in. Just do it one more time. Breathe in. And one more time. And as you're listening to me, we do that just to change the channel in our mind and to start centering. Now I'd like you to say this very common phrase to yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Just say that to yourself. Now say it a little bit slower. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Not just one more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Now just as you're sitting there with your eyes closed and you're in a spirit of listening prayer, what thoughts are coming to your mind right now? Are there some thoughts about some duty you have to do? Is there some thoughts about hurriedness? What's coming to your mind right now? What do you feel needs to be done? Listen to yourself. Do you feel it strange to sit quietly? Say to yourself again, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Now open your eyes. That's an example of centering. And of course, we would take time to do that longer. But like I said, this is Christians have done this through the centuries. As we begin to center on God and remember Him as our source point for joy, what I found out when I do that exercise is that I find love. And as I'm centered, I realize that I don't need to do anything to impress anybody else. I'm already loved by God. And I can give Him the list of everything I need to do. If we had more time, we could begin to the things that come up in our hearts. We could begin to say, Lord, I want to give this to you. I surrender this attitude that I have towards somebody else to you. I give you this task. I often find that as I do that I realize my list is, well, there's things I should really drop and not be doing. And then I also find that God often helps because someone else comes along and says, can I help you with that task? Or it gets done. The Lord will give you all that you need as you cast your anxieties on Him. So do this exercise as often as you need to. The spirit of consumption is all around us. It brings hurriedness and disappointment. It actually doesn't satisfy according to secular professionals. So be careful not to buy in. I know we're all on a spectrum, and maybe you said you should have preached this a month ago before I started. But even in that, when you get around Christmas, don't create any heavy expectations of what must happen and how people should feel about the gift that you gave them. Because, you know, of course, children are going to toss aside clothes for something that's flashy. And sometimes adults will do that too. And I recognize that it's a constant struggle to know how much is too much gift giving. This is a constant struggle for us who live in a fog of consumerism. As I call the band forward now, let me pray for us. Lord, we want to remember you. And you're coming in special ways this Christmas. Give us creativity and thoughtfulness in our planning. Help us to focus on your presence and not on what we must, what we hope for or give or receive from others. Thank you for your renewing gift this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.